case you were expecting it, just for this week, there'll be no There's More in the Sunday Gospel than meets the eye. Exceptionally, to replace this program, you can listen to a reflection by Canadian Father Bernard O'Connor for this, the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, which begins with this week's Gospel, read for us, as always, by Sean Patrick Lovett.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near, at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father."
Were you a bit startled by the language which Mark uses in our Gospel passage? For example, he tells us that the Jewish people of his era would experience a terrible tribulation. The word tribulation refers to a period of great suffering. It would be as if the very structure of the earth and heavens would be shaken, and everything familiar would become confused and disordered. That is why Mark says that the sun and moon, normally sources of light, will be darkened, and the stars, which have guided people for centuries, especially travelers, will no longer be seen as fixed in their trustworthy positions in the sky, but will appear to fall at random. The powers in the heavens will be devastated, Mark says. Instead of assisting mankind, they will act against their own nature and against humanity. What did this mean for the Jews 2,000 years ago? Those who are expert in Holy Scripture advise us not to apply these words literally to our own time. For example, it is incorrect to assume that these lines refer to something which is still to occur and which may happen to our own children or grandchildren. Mark is not describing the end of the world as we know it. Rather, these verses are almost certainly a reference to the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 AD by a Roman army. For pious Jews, the temple was the centerpiece of their spiritual existence. Nothing mattered more in their daily lives. With the loss of the temple, it was as if the whole of reality had collapsed and was in chaos. The imagery given us by Mark truly describes how devout Jews felt about their overwhelming pain. Because the temple was no more, nothing above in the heavens or below on the earth then made sense. All meaning for their lives was lost. But notice what Mark says next. After speaking of this unimaginable scene, he offers a sign of hope. In the midst of the dreadful turmoil, the Son of Man comes forward to aid his people in their anguish. That Son of Man is no one other than Jesus. What Mark intends for us to understand is that when everything seems in shambles and in upheaval, it is then that Jesus the Savior is most present. Remember that with his death upon the cross, even some of his disciples were sure that this was the end of him and his message. But the resurrection on the first Easter morning proved that he had conquered the power of death. Brothers and sisters, you may be afflicted with many trials and hardships, and you may feel shattered, like those Jews of old when deprived of their temple. And when recalling the words of the prophet Daniel, today's first reading, you may even feel that much of your entire life has been filled with strife and misfortune. That seems to be the case of so much of the Jews' history. I am rather convinced that the original listeners to Mark's Gospel must have also recalled Daniel. He is said to have been a sage during the period of the Babylonian exile, a time several hundred years before Mark, when the Jews had been forcibly exiled from their homeland. It was an era when most were persuaded that they might never return. In fact, however, they did. And Daniel urged his people to realize that their captivity meant national purification, while their eventual release would mean a reaffirmation of their love and fidelity for God, their rescuer. We may not be aware, however, that the book of Daniel was actually penned about 400 years after the events which it describes. Not surprisingly, this corresponded to another persecution of the Jews by the Syrian king Antiochus Epiphanes. Here was a king who was determined to seduce the Jews from observance of their religious heritage, the law, as it is called. The message of Daniel was intended to console them and to appeal to their sense of courage. God would not abandon them, neither in the past, nor in the present, nor in the future. Given the atrocity of the much later Holocaust and the turmoil continually hampering the model Middle East, the lesson is worth remembering. And for us Christians, that same lesson is no less important, for our faith is regularly under assault by the destructive forces of media hostility and of a secular outlook which rejects so much of what we believe and value. Yet in such a moment, we are again invited to reach out to Jesus the Lord, for he is with each of us in our crisis, whether it be individually or as a church, and he makes of that crisis our comfort and our peace.
Thanks there go to Father Bernard O'Connor for this reflection